Good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So I hope everyone had a meaningful and enjoyable uplifting Purim. So we'll continue a little bit. Last week we spoke a little bit about, last week was Tanis Esther. So we spoke about Tanis Esther. No, we didn't speak about Tanis Esther. What did we speak about? We spoke about Purim. Good. I did not start before that cheer. That's not why. So we're going to return today to Tehillim. Now, if you notice, we're going a little bit out of order. We are actually up to Kapitel Lamed Vav. We're actually up to Kapitel 36. But just for this week, I'm jumping to 37. It's no reflection on 36. 36 is wonderful. We will come back in Mirat Hashem to 36, to Lamed Vav, next week. But I'll tell you just my thinking in this. I saw something, a magnificent piece that I'm going to share with you today that quoted this Kapitel. And it motivated me to skip to this capital to share with you what I think is just, I think it's a life-altering idea. I hope you'll find it the same. So let's begin. A little bit of background. We're not going to get too in-depth into Lamed Zayin, because the truth is we're not focusing on the capital. We're actually focusing just on one phrase, but I need to give you the background a little bit. So capital Lamed Zayin, LeDavid. Al tischar b'mereim, al tikana b'ose avlo. Of David, do not compete with the evildoers. Do not envy those who commit injustice. For they will be speedily cut off like grass and wither like green vegetation. So what's happening over here? What's the essence of this capital? So the Radak in number 2 says the following, LeDavid, al tischar b'mereim, do not compete with evildoers. So the Radak writes, L'chola shomea musara omar, for anyone who would listen to the Musar of David HaMelech, he was saying the following, al tischar. Now, tischar literally means compete, but the English word that's often used is also contend. So what does this mean? Ulefisha zachar machshavas harishon masehem, amar shelo yifuta adam lahem bir oso hatzalasam kilo ta'amot, ki acharisam lara. So David HaMelech writes in this particular capital that sometimes the greatest challenge in life is not as much that the righteous suffer, but more that the wicked prosper. This idea, you know, if everyone suffered, if everybody had difficult times, that'd be one thing. It's not easy, but I could accept it. But the notion that sometimes the people who do the right thing seem to be put at a life disadvantage, while those who overtly shirk their responsibilities towards God and towards their fellow man prosper in this world, is very difficult to contend with. Now, granted, again, we have the concept of Olam Haba, we have the concept of the world to come, the future, that eternal life where the record is set straight and ultimately everyone gets their fair share. That's fine. That's wonderful. But for most of us, David HaMelech says, that doesn't help me too much with dealing with what sometimes appear to be the inequalities of this world. And again, no one knew this better than David, because David HaMelech was faced every single day with challenge, was faced every single day with people who were trying to goad him, people who were trying to do things just to spite him. And so David HaMelech says, listen, don't go ahead, don't feel down about the hatzlacha of the Rishayim. Don't be demoralized by the fact that those who seem to do the wrong thing seem to get farther ahead in life. For one simple reason, ki acharisam lara. Because what people do in this world, how people behave, how people act, ultimately catches up with them. Al tischar ritzon olomar, al tisarev. Don't get involved. V'hu b'shakal tif'al, v'sharashoch tachar me'iyon ve'ech tischar. So, okay, we don't have to get into the rest of this. But the Radak is saying, Dora Melch is telling us over here, the greatest challenge in life is seeing the wicked prosper. The greatest challenge in life is seeing those who don't do the right thing. You know, sometimes, not sometimes, very often, to do the right thing requires an incredible amount of self-sacrifice. It requires material sacrifice. It requires emotional sacrifice. And the truth is, as much as we like to try to do things lishma, just for the purpose of doing good things in life, at the end of the day, we all live with a certain expectation, with the hope that if we do the right thing, things will work out the right way. Now, sometimes that does happen. But sometimes it doesn't happen at least immediately. Sometimes I do the right thing, and the truth is, I'm not happy with the results. Or I don't feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me my quid pro quo. I don't feel that it's been a midah kineged midah. And on the opposite side, I see those who don't care, those who do what they want, those who live a life of purely seeking self-pleasure. And you know what? The truth is, they look kind of happy. They look kind of happy. They look kind of fulfilled. They look like they feel good. Look like they're having a good time. And I say to myself, you know what? Here, I'm doing the right thing, and I'm not necessarily happy. I'm doing the right thing, and it's difficult, and it's a struggle, and yet everyone else seems to be enjoying life so much more. To which David HaMelech says, which is a theme throughout Sefer Tehillim, be patient. Because the reality of the way one lives catches up with everyone. And by the way, it catches up not only in the world to come, but the truth is at the end of the day, it catches up with us even in this world as well. Therefore, L'David, and remember again, we've seen that whenever a capital begins with L'David, what does L'David mean? I know, we've only been doing this for 5 years, right? So L'David. Excellent. So you saved the entire class. All right, good. So L'David means there's no nevuah, there's no prophecy, there's no shefa, there's no divine inspiration flowing from above into David HaMelech's neshama inspiring to say these words. L'David means David HaMelech is bearing his soul. He's just telling us what he feels. L'David, I'm not talking to you as king. I'm not talking to you as a prophet. I'm not talking to you. I'm just talking to you as a man, as a human being. L'David, here's what I feel. Remember, these kapitlach that begin with L'David all are sometimes the most personal and intimate kapitlach because it's David HaMelech almost opening himself up, telling us what he really feels inside. And what he's telling us from what he says, we also get a window into his struggle. His struggle is, Ribono Shel Olam, I try to do the right thing all the time. You know, it's an amazing thing. David HaMelech was a human being, and therefore he made mistakes. He made one major mistake. Now, the truth is, most of us make major mistakes every single day. David HaMelech made one major mistake, but that one major mistake colored his entire existence. So you see David HaMelech saying, but David HaMelech also knew that at his core, he was righteous. At his core, he was a tzaddik. He didn't know that in an arrogant or gaivadik fashion. He knew that because the Ribono Shel Olam had told him, I forgive you. You picked up the pieces. You rebuilt yourself. The fact that his son Shlomo, who was the product of his marriage with Bathsheba, became the king. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember, David and Bathsheba named him Shlomo. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu named him Yedidya. Right? The Yedid, the beloved one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, indicated that David HaMelech was forgiven on every single level. Of course, the greater public didn't know that because we actually spoke about this in earlier shum because Ribono Shel Olam, for whatever the reason, chose not to publicize King David's forgiveness until after he was already dead. But in any event, David HaMelech says, L'David, I'll tell you, what I struggle with is why doing the right thing is sometimes so difficult. When you really do the right thing, you don't get any further, it appears you don't get any further in life. The wicked are always prospering. David says, you know what? Don't contend, don't compete with the Rishayim, don't try to go ahead and get what they have. Al tekana be'osei avla, do not envy those who commit injustice. Why? Because at the end of the day, right or goodness, holiness always floats to the top. If you live a life of good, if you live a life of tov, at the end of the day, you will see the fruits of your labor. Some are privileged to see it in this world. Some are only privileged to see it in the world to come. Some see it with themselves. Some see it with their children. But at the end of the day, the good that we do in life always floats to the top. And the converse is true as well. The wicked that we do, although it may yield some immediate temporal pleasure or enjoyment, at the end of the day, the wickedness of our actions catches up with us as well. Fine. Now I want you to skip down a little bit to Pasuk Yud. So David, going back to number one. So David HaMelech writes, Va'od ma'at ve'ein rasha ve'hesponanta amakomo ve'einenu. So literally translated, a short while longer, and the wicked man is not here, and you shall look at his place, and he is not there. Va'anovim yirshu aretz v'yis'angu arov shalom. But the humble shall inherit the land, and they shall delight in much peace. So on most basic level, what David HaMelech is saying is that even the pleasure that the evildoers get, even the pleasure that the Rishayim gets from their negative life behaviors, it's temporal. At the end of the day, if there's one thing we know, it's that righteousness, piety, and holiness endure. Everything else fades away. If you take a look at number three, Rashi says, "Va'od ma'at kishetamtin od ma'at tira ki'ina rasha." Now, what David HaMelech is saying over here is something which is amazing, which is the very strength of our people. The strength of the righteous individual is staying power. You know, what's the difference between the tzaddik and the rasha? At the core, what is the difference between the tzaddik and the rasha? I know, I just said that. Right, good. But that is correct. The difference between tzaddik and rasha is instant gratification. See, the rasha, however you define wickedness, but wickedness is all about instant gratification. It's all about, I want pleasure, I want it now. I want results, I want it now. What makes a tzaddik is patience and staying power. The tzaddik realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not work on my time frame. The Ribono Shel Olam does not do things when I want them to. There's a greater plan of which I am a part of. But I know that if I just hold on somehow, some way, everything will work out. That's the difference. The Rasha needs it and needs it now. And if I can't have it now, let's move on to something else. The tzaddik is able to cultivate this virtue of patience. So Rashi says over here, David HaMelech is saying, "Va'od ma'at," the righteous person, hold on a little bit. Hold on a little bit. And it's true. You know, if you think about it, is this not the story of our people? In just a few weeks, we're going to sit at the Seder. And what do? We lift up our cup by V'hisha Amda. And we say, "Shebechol dar vadar omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu." It's an amazing thing. Every single generation is somewhere else. But this amazing thing, the common denominator among the enemies of the Jewish people is that they are no longer here. And we are. That's the staying power of tzidkus. The staying power, the patience of a righteous people, of a righteous nation. So David HaMelech tells us, the reader, you're going to see evil people. You're going to see them doing terrible things. You're going to see them prospering. Od ma'at, give it a little bit of time. And you're going to see they're simply going to disappear in the sands of time. Visponanta amakomo, second line of number three. Vitistakil amakom shahayasham. You look at where the righteous, the wicked one stood. Ve'enenu kimeis va'avat. So it's an amazing thing. You know, you could go to Rome today, and you could get a wonderful tour, right, of the Colosseums. And you could go and you could get the wonderful tour of all the wonderful things, quote unquote, that were part of Roman culture. And where are the Romans? And where are the Romans? There's nowhere to be seen. But yet, again, you can go to the Kotel, right? You can go to the last retaining wall of the beautiful Beis HaMikdash, and every single day, you will always find Jews there. It's an amazing thing. So David HaMelech says, just hold on, od ma'at, a little bit longer, and the wicked will simply disappear. Visponanta amakomo, you look at where the wicked once stood, and they won't be there anymore. But yet, we still will be. The Ebenezer writes in number four, Va'od, the Ebenezer uses a very interesting lashon here. He says, Dom ma'at. Now, dom means what? Be silent and be still. V'tira be'enecha yom hakaras harasha haniskar. Now, the Ebenezer chooses his words very carefully. Dom, where do we find that word? Vayidom Aaron, right? After Aaron loses his sons. Right, Nadav and Avihu, on the day by Yom the consecration of the Mishkan, Torah records Aaron calling the sons Vayidom Aaron. He was still, he was silent, and the Mefarshim understands that what that represents to a certain degree is Tzidduk Hadin, acceptance of judgment. That's a complicated response by itself, but here with the Ebenezer is sometimes you just have to wait. Sometimes you just have to be patient. Don't just be quiet. Not be quiet, but just silence yourself, calm yourself a little bit, dry your tears, and you're going to see that resha, that evil, that darkness that sometimes envelops us, will simply dissipate and disappear. The places where they stood will be vacant, but we will still be here. A beautiful and moving idea. But I want to share with you is something that, and really, I stumbled across it on Erev Shabbos. I said, I'm going to do this on Wednesday. And this is a piece by Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. So I included over here a little bit of a biography for you here of Rabbi Nachman, because the biography is very important. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov was, of course, he was the grandson, the great-grandson of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. He was actually raised in his great-grandfather's home. The Baal Shem Tov left his home to his daughter Fega, and when his daughter Fega passed away, her daughter, who was Rabbi Nachman's mother, lived in that home. So he was literally raised in the actual physical home of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and under the influence of the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov as well. Rabbi Nachman had a very, very difficult life. a very difficult life. He died at the age of 38 of tuberculosis. He lost two children in infancy. Nachman had a very, very difficult existence. Just as an aside, it's always amazing how, you know, we always speak about this idea of maximizing each and every day. So the truth is, you know, most of us say it, if we're honest with ourselves, most of us say it, and then we say, oh yeah, of course, I'm going to do that when like I'm 50, right? When I get to 50, when I hit 50, I'm going to maximize every day. And then when we get to 50, a couple of more years to retirement, I'm going to maximize every single day. You know what the amazing part is? That if you think about it, Baruch Hashem, somebody like Rabbi Nachman did not fall prey to the deleterious mindset that sometimes we have of just pushing off maximizing each day, because he died at the age of 38. You know, you often think, if a person would die at the age of 38, how many things did they push off to later in life that they would have left unfulfilled and undone in this world? But Rabbi Nachman maximized every single day, so that even though his biological life was short, it's amazing, 38 years old, most people haven't really accomplished anything. Anything of note at the age, right? Most of us are, quote unquote, finding ourselves, right? And hopefully we catch up with ourselves at some point in time, but what have we accomplished by the age of 38 that we can point to, I did this, I did that? Maybe a person is zocheh to establish a family, that's certainly important, but what else has a person been able to accomplish during that time? And yet at the age of 38, Rabbi Nachman continues to inspire to this very day. So I want to share with you a beautiful idea. So turn over to page, to number 5. So this is from Rabbi Nachman's Sefer Likutei Moharan. So remember, Rabbi Nachman did not record any of his teachings. Did not record anything. He had a Talmud, Rabbi Nosson, who recorded everything that he wrote down. And that's why it's called Likutei, means the collection, Moharan, Morenu Harav, Rabbeinu Nachman. Rabbi Nachman. So look what he writes. It's a little bit long, and the truth is, I don't want to summarize it to you because Rabbi Nachman's wording is absolutely beautiful. So let's look at it together. He says, "Duh, ki tzaruch ladun es kol adam lekaf suchus." Rabbi Nachman says, you have to go ahead and judge every person favorably. Afilu mishu rasha gamer, even someone who's unequivocally wicked. Tzaruch lechapes vilimtso bo ezo ma'at tov. So Rabbi Nachman writes, you have to try to find the good in every single person. Even if a person is a Rasha, even if a person is wicked, you still have to actively try to find some good within them. Sheba'osa ha'ma'at, eino Rasha. Because Rabbi Nachman says, even the greatest Rasha has a little bit of him or her that is not bad. No person is totally bad. Every single person has a little bit of tov that's within them, and you have to try to seek out the little bit of tov in the other. Look what Rabbi Nachman writes. And if you're able to find a little bit of good in another individual, and you're able to go ahead and judge them favorably. So remember, Rabbi Nachman is saying that judging a person favorably is not just like some blind idea. Being dan l'kaf sechus means the process of actively seeking out something, even if it's something very small, positive in the other. Something small, positive in the other. And now that I've found something positive in the other, I give them the benefit of the doubt. Because now that I know that you have some good in you, perhaps there is more other good that has yet to be discovered. Like, but here's Rabbi Nachman writes, which is amazing. Va'al yedezeh ma'ala oso be'emes l'kaf zechus. The Yuchal Lahashivo Bitshuva. See, Rabbi Nachman says something absolutely astounding. He says, if you give someone the benefit of the doubt and you try to judge them favorably because you've actively tried to find some good and you have found something positive in the other individual, Rabbi Nachman says, literally, I lift up that person, I allow them to be judged l'kaf sechus in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I enable them to go ahead and do tshuva. Now, what does this mean? So you could say, it's chassidus, whatever, right? And the truth is, there's no question, this is heavy chassidus. So if you are chassidically challenged, you may have some difficulty with this. But nevertheless, you'll see that there are certain elements here that Rabbi Nachman is saying is amazing. Rabbi Nachman is saying, I think if you even want to reduce it from a less esoteric level, at the end of the day, what is the most important thing to have in life? It's a hard question. Most important thing to have in life? A good name. That's a safe one, Pirkei Avos, right? Good. What else? Simchas Achaim, good. Peace. Oh, this is, by the way, there's no wrong answer to this. So Rabbi Nachman would say the most important thing to have in life is someone who believes in you. Someone who believes in you. Right? We all know that if you have someone who believes in you in life, you could accomplish incredible things. Because we absolutely know the opposite. If you grow up in a home where parents are disparaging, or you have a marriage in which a spouse is not supportive of your own, whatever it is, personal or career growth, it's very hard to grow if you don't have a cheering section. It doesn't have to be a section, it could just be an individual. Someone who believes in you and sees that you are special and sees that you are significant and sees that you could accomplish great things. Rabbi Nachman says something amazing. When you see the positive in another person, when you go ahead, now the person may look rotten, the person may be 99% rotten, but I try to find the one thing, the one little thing that that person does which is good. Rabbi Nachman says, you know what you've done? You know what you've done? You believe in that person. You believe in that individual. You believe what you're saying is, I found the one thing about you that's good. If you have one thing that's good, then what does that mean? That you have potential. That you could cultivate other things that are good as well. Rabbi Nachman says, when you believe in another, you enable that person to be a chozer b'tshuva. Now remember again, that other person may never know that I believe in them or not, but Rabbi Nachman says there are things that happen on the celestial sphere that we don't control, that we don't understand. And in the cosmos, if I believe in someone, there's a koach that generates. There's a koach that creates, that somehow gives the person the power at some point in time to be able to do tshuva. V'zel bechinas. Let me just give me a little bit of time. V'zel bechinas. V'ot. Look what Rabbi Nachman says, and you'll see why. Again, you know, sometimes you find something, you have to fetch it into a shir. So I have to tell you, like, the shir's, this kapitel, Rabbi Nachman was only quoting one pasuk, but it gave me the excuse to do this, Rabbi Nachman, because he quotes from Perek Lamed Zayin. Look what he writes. He quotes the pasuk, Va'od ma'at ve'ein rasha, visbonanta amakomo ve'einenu. So, okay, he quotes the pasuk that we just read, Perek Lamed Zayin pasuk yud, and remember how we translated it. David HaMelech was saying, just wait a little bit, ve'ein rasha, the rasha will disappear, visbonanta amakomo ve'einenu. You will look to his place and you will not find him. Rabbi Nachman writes, look how he explains the pasuk. Hainu, sha pasuk mushar ladun eskal es akol kafschus. Rabbi Nachman says this pasuk is teaching us that we have to judge every person favorably. Even though all you see is that he or she is incredibly wicked, shasham eino rasha. But you have to find a little bit of the personality, a little bit of the person's identity that is not wicked. A little bit of the positivity. And Rabbi Nachman says, that's the pshat in the pasuk. Listen to this. The od ma'at ve'in rasha. Shetzarech at levakish bo od ma'at tov shiyesh bo adayin shesham eino rasha. So Rabbi Nachman interprets the phrase, od ma'at, every single person has a little bit in them, that's what? Ve'in rasha. That is not wicked. No matter how much I have corrupted myself, no matter how far I have fallen, Rabbi Nachman says, every person has od ma'at, just a little bit more in their persona, in their personality. That's not a rasha. That's not wicked. I have to find that little piece in the other. Ki af al pi shu rasha, because even though a person might be totally wicked, eich efshar she'ein bo ma'at tov adayin. It is impossible that in my fellow Jew, there's always a little bit. There's always an od ma'at ve'in rasha. There's always a little bit of them that remains uncorrupted. Ki eich, what he writes, ki eich efshar, shelo asa eiza mitzvah, ol dover tov miyamav. Because Rabbi Nachman says, it's impossible. Every single Jew has done something positive at least some point in their lives. Everyone has done some mitzvah, some ma'aseh tov, some good action, at least in some time. Va'al yidei zeh sha'ata motzei bo, od ma'atov, shesham eino rasha, va'ata don oso lekafsuchus, al yidei ma'ala oso, ata ma'ala oso, be'emes mikaf, chovo lekafsuchus, Ad sheyashuv b'tshuva. So Rabbi Nachman says, if I'm able to find the little bit, the od ma'at she'im bo rasha, the little bit contained within the other that is not yet wicked, so what am I able to do, says Rabbi Nachman? I am able to generate the energy, generate the forces that allow that person to ultimately do tshuva. Look what he writes. V'zehu, excuse me, I'm sorry. I just lost the place. V'zehu v'od ma'at she'im, I'm sorry, I'm paragraph C now. By paragraph C, v'zehu v'od ma'at vein rasha, al yidei shemotze b'harasha od ma'atov, if you're able to find a little bit of good that is within the wicked, shishamin harasha, look what he writes, al yidei zeh v'sponant amakomo ve'enenu. What will you do? If you find a little bit of good that is within the individual, if you believe in the goodness of the other, even if the other has so profoundly corrupted him or herself, you'll give them the koach over time to be able to do tshuva, and what will happen? V'sponant amakomo, one day you'll look back to where that Russia was, and what? Ve'enenu. They'll no longer be there. Why? When you look back one day to where they were, to their madrega, ve'enenu sham amakomo harisha. The Russia will no longer be there. But why not? You see, remember, as opposed to Rashi and the Mefarshim who said the Russia is no longer there because the Russia will cease to exist, Rabbi Nachman agrees also the Russia will cease to exist, but in a very different way than described by the Rishayim. The Russia will cease to exist. Why? V'danin oso l'kaf sechus, al yidei ze motzien oso be'emes, mikaf chova l'kaf sechus, v'zehu v'sponanta amakomo ve'enenu. Is this not amazing? Do they serve decaf coffee out there? Is that what this is? Like, this is like life-altering. Come on, people. Right? This is absolutely amazing. Whether you agree with it or not, you don't have to agree with it. Right? The Shivan Param Torah, Rabbi Nachman is espousing a particular ideology that is uniquely Rabbi Nachman and uniquely rooted in Chassidus. But the idea that Rabbi Nachman is saying is every single person has something good in them, no matter how, and again, he's referring to our fellow Jews. This does not apply to all of humanity. There is absolute evil in humanity. Hitler, yimach shemo v'zichro, Haman, yimach shemo v'zichro, right? There are people who are kulo evil, but within Klal Yisrael, this is talking about interpersonal within the Jewish people, there is no such thing as a Jew who is kulo rasha. There is no such thing, says Rabbi Nachman. No matter how much the Jew has corrupted him or herself, Od ma'at ve'in rasha. There's always a little bit. There's always a ma'at. It might be a very minuscule amount that is not affected by a person's rishus and is still good. And if you believe in that person, if you find that good, you judge the person favorably. And again, what is judging? I want to be clear. Judging favorably does not mean judging dishonestly or judging stupidly, right? If somebody might be bad, somebody might be bad. So dan lekav sechus means, oh, you're really a good guy. That's not what dan lekav sechus means. Dan lekav sechus means I'm able to find and to see the good in the other. And once I find the od ma'at and I see that you have the capacity to do good, that means I realize that the bad that you do, it's not the real you. That's not the real you. That's the aberration. The good that you've done, that's the real you, because you have it inside of you. Just for whatever the reason in life, you've chosen to make very bad decisions, but I believe that you have the capacity to do good. I believe that you have the ability to be something much more special. And says Rabbi Nachman something amazing. If you believe in a person enough, over time, they will find the way back. It might take a very long time. It might even be in a different lifetime, in a different Gilgul. But at some point in time, they will find the way back. Va'od ma'at ve'in rasha. If you seek out the little good that is contained within the individual, then what? Then what? Then visponanta amakomo. One day you'll look back to where that rasha was, ve'inenu, and he will no longer be there. Why? Because ultimately, he's uplifted himself. Now Rabbi Nachman goes on. You had a question.
Challenged child, you could find the good in
100%. 100%. Even in a sea of negativity. 1,000%. So take a look at letter D. Yes.
I have a question. Rabbi, I totally agree with Rabbi Nachman and what you're saying, that particularly with a young person or a teenager or a young man. But how would Rabbi Nachman feel about someone like Bernie Madoff?
Right. Right. So Snudelman is asking about, let's say, someone who so terribly hurt someone, like Bernie Madoff, who defrauded, like...
Mostly Jews.
Right, mostly Jews. So, you know, so the answer I'd have to say, and again, I'm not anyone's spokesman, certainly not Bernie Madoff. Right? So I would say like this, I think what Rabbi Nachman is saying is, even a Bernie Madoff could do tshuva. Even he could do tshuva. Now, granted, his tshuva will be incomplete. I'm sorry?
His wickedness has certainly
come back. 100%. But I think Rabbi Nachman would say that at the end of the day, no one is beyond salvation. Everybody has some good. I would venture to say that I'm sure Madoff did some good things in his life as well. Granted, his good deeds have been eclipsed by all the negativity and all the heartbreak and all the ruin that he visited upon many people. But he did good things as well. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying independent of money. Independent of money, I'm sure he did good things in his life. I'm sure he did good things in his life. Again, I don't know. I don't know. I can't stand in judgment. I say like this. I have enough problems handling myself, right? And enough problems making sure that I stay on the Derech HaYashar and I try to be an Obed Hashem. So to be honest, I don't worry about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to deal with other people because that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's problem. What I say, the reason why I find this amazing is because the truth is, what I hope is that this would be the way that other people would look at me. That if somebody sees something that's negative in me, that hopefully they would try to go ahead and see something positive that I have done. And if someone else believes in me, that generates kochos in the celestial sphere, and hopefully those kochos at some point in time will give me the ability to do tshuva. How to plug this in to specific people in specific circumstances? It's difficult. It's difficult. But as a klal, as a general approach to life, Rabbi Nachman is saying, is that even those people who you look at, you say, such a rasha, so terrible, so horrible, they've never done anything good. Rabbi Nachman says, take a step back. Try hard to find something good in that individual. Because if you try to find something good, and therefore you give them the benefit of the doubt, you're giving them, at some point in time, the koach to be able to uplift themselves. Now, Rabbi Nachman takes this one step further. Look at paragraph D. Look what he writes. Now, remember, up until now, he's been talking about my relationship with others. However, v'chein tzarech ha'adam limtzo gam ba'atzmo. Now, Rabbi Nachman says something absolutely beautiful. He says, but it's not just true with other people. It's true with ourselves as well. Ki ze yaduach, look at Rabbi Nachman writes, she'tzarech ha'adam lizaher ma'od liyos b'simcha tamid. Right, Rabbi Nachman was on the road in Likutei Moharan. Mitzvah gedol yos b'simcha tamid. Now, I want to point out, people think that this is why, like, the Brez lovers, you know, like, they're always jumping and dancing and the music's blaring. So, Rabbi Nachman was not jumping on top of vehicles, or, I mean, there were no vehicles. So it's very important that Rabbi Nachman says, mitzvah gedola liyos b'simcha tamid. It's a great mitzvah to be b'simcha all the time. Simcha doesn't necessarily mean a smile on your face. And simcha doesn't necessarily mean happy. Because remember, and the perfect proof to that is, there are times where the halacha forbids happiness. On Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to be happy. You're not allowed to be besimcha. Person's in avelos, a person's mourning. Person's not besimcha. There are sometimes restrictions on how besimcha. Simcha, Rabbi Nachman says, means a sense of completion. A person always has to feel shalim. Mitzvah gedola lios besimcha tamid means a person, the best thing you could do in life is feel shalim, is feel complete. Because if you feel complete, you know, I'm not a psychologist, but I truly believe that 9 out of 10 times where people are unhappy with something, you know, sometimes people will lash out at someone else, or they'll act inappropriately towards another individual, they'll take liberties with the covenant, or they'll get angry. 9 out of 10 times, why does that happen? Because people aren't happy with themselves. If you're happy with who you are, you have a lot more tolerance for others. If you're happy with who you are, you have a lot more tolerance for setbacks in life. If you're happy with who you are in life, you're able to navigate the complexities of the world. You see a person who always gets angry, always lashes out, is always quick to, you know, lop off the head of another, always quick to criticize, always quick to condemn. You have to ask them, you know, I'm so sorry that you're unhappy with your life. I'm so sorry that you're so unhappy with who you are. I mean, don't try that. Don't actually say those words. But that's, you have, it's rachmanus. It's rachmanus because normal, happy people are able to deal with all kinds of people in all kinds of situations and not always lose their cool. So Rabbi Nachman says, mitzvah. So let's go back over here. So he says, "V'chein tzarich adam mitzvah gam ba'atzmo ki zeh ador she'tzarich ha'adam lizar mo lios b'simcha tamid." Person always has to be b'simcha. I feel, he says, "Ulaharchik ha'atzvus ma'od ma'od." Remember, we spoke about this a little bit last week. When we spoke about, we quote Rabbi Nachman in the Halachos of Tachanun. Right? Rabbi Nachman says, man has a predisposition to be an atzus, to be sad. And for good reason, like we spoke about last week, either because of personal situations, because of national situations, because life is going my way. Rabbi Nachman writes, you know, sometimes we begin to look at our lives. And what happens? I realize, my gosh, I have sinned so much. I have done so many things wrong. I have not accomplished the things I want to accomplish. And it's often because I sabotaged myself. I look at Rabbi Nachman writes, and the Baal Dover, who is the Baal Dover? The Baal Dover is the Yetzirah. You know, the Yetzirah, and remember, as I always say, we don't believe in some guy, you know, with horns and a tail and a pitchfork standing on my shoulders. The Yetzirah is for whatever the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with almost like a self-sabotaging mechanism, an internal self-sabotaging mechanism. We know why he created it with us, because that's the only reason why we get any credit for growth. If growth was easy, if there was no internal self-sabotaging mechanism, you don't get any credit for growing. It's only because we have to work against ourselves that we get credit for growth. So Rabbi Nachman says that the Baal Dover, you know the great, it's interesting, you know the Ramchal writes about this as well, that the Yetzirah, this internal push and pull, the Yetzirah doesn't try to get us to sin. The Yetzirah doesn't get us to sin. Why? Because the Yetzirah knows that he'll always lose that battle. If you tell a Jew to sin, the Jew will say, no way. No, I'm going to sin. I love the Ribbono Shalom. I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I love my neshama that he gave me, and I don't want to do anything to sully it or to tarnish it. So a Jew will never sin. So the Yetzirah instead employs other mechanisms. So for example, the Ramchal explains the Yetzirah employs the mechanism of making us busy, too busy to think about anything. Rabbi Nachman says, the greatest power of the Yetzirah is what he calls Atzvus Umara Shechora. Atzvus means sadness. What does Mara Shechora mean? Depression. Actually, again, there is a Hebrew word for depression. Mara Shechora, which if you think about it, is such an amazing description of depression. Mara means bitter. Shechora means blackness. A black bitterness or a bitter darkness. That, says Rabbi Nachman, is how the Yetzirah gets us. The Yetzirah gets us by making us feel bad about ourselves, by making us feel like we don't measure up, by making us feel like we're not worthy, by making us reflect and dwell on all of the things that we have done wrong in life. But Rabbi Nachman says, Afa Pikein, Aser lo lipol mizeh. But even so, Rabbi Nachman says, it is forbidden to fall down as a result of this. You know, I have to tell you something amazing. So there are many stories that cry about Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman took the approach when he was young that he got from his great-grandfather, that he always tried to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just in plain words. Well, he spoke in Yiddish, but in plain wording. He didn't only speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah, but he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu just with a dialogical connection. And Rabbi Nachman told over to his Hasidim that there were so many times that he felt so down that the Ribbono Shel Olam never answered him back. He said, I spent so much time trying to develop a relationship, and all I expected was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm putting in all of this time, all of this effort to try to talk to you, and I would expect something back. Throw me a divine bone, right? Give me something. And Rabbi Nachman said that there were times, look what Rabbi Nachman wrote, there are times that I stopped speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Rabbi Nachman. There are times that I stopped speaking to God because I felt so upset and so depressed that he never spoke back to me. But then Rabbi Nachman says, I realized that that was my sesatan. I realized that that was the Yetzirah. That was the Yetzirah that was working to create a distance between myself and my father. It was the Yetzirah working to create this divide between myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I realized I couldn't fall prey to depression. Rabbi Nachman had these bouts with this Mara Shechora, where he felt down because he felt that he was not good enough in his, Rabbi Nachman, in his Avodas Hashem. But afterwards he realized this was the Yitzhahara. He picked himself back up, he dusted himself off, and he continued on. He says, life is all about avoiding the depression and the sadness that the Yitzhahara ultimately tries to visit upon us. The Afal Pi came, Aso Lipo Mizeh, Rak Tzorek Lechapis V'Limtso Ba'atzmo, Ezo Me'at Tov. So what do I do? What do I do when I look at my life? And sometimes this happens. I look at myself in the mirror and I realize, you know what? There's a lot more that I've done wrong than done right. In the collective, if I look at my life, I'm not happy with what I've done. I'm not happy with what I've accomplished. And I feel like I've done so much negative. What do I do? And says Rabbi Nachman, in that situation, a person has to begin by finding just a little bit of good inside. Find something good you have done. It's impossible. All of us have done something good. Rabbi Nachman says, begin to dwell on that good. And so what's going to happen, Rabbi Nachman? But you know, the Satan, the Yitzhahara, doesn't relent. And what's going to happen when I find that good thing that I did? So okay, I did an act of chesed. So how does the Yitzhahara work? What is the Yitzhahara going to do? He says, and what does the Yitzhahara do by paragraph? What does the Yitzhahara do? I find the chesed. And what does the Yitzhahara do? Yitzhahara's, you know why you did that chesed? You know why you did it? You did it for covet. You did it because you wanted everybody to think you're such a great Baal Chesed. You did it because you wanted honor. You did it because you wanted acclaim. You did it because you wanted to be known as a Baal Chesed. The Yitzhahara says, come on, who are you fooling? You think that was Chesed? You weren't serving others. You were serving yourself, says Rabbi Nachman. So now look at this process. I'm already down on myself because I see all the negative things that I've done. So Rabbi Nachman tells me, find something good. I find something good, and my good friend, the Yitzhahara, comes right back at me and says, come on, that's the best you got? That's not good. That was so self-serving. That was ego-driven. You did it for ulterior motives, not for goodness, not for chesed, but for some other purpose. Rabbi Nachman says, so now what do I do? What's my response? Al kol zeh, eich afshar shelo yihye ba'osa mitzvah adar v'shebekdusha, ezo ma'at tov. Maybe it's true. Maybe I did that act of chesed for my own ego. Maybe I did it because I wanted to be known as a Baal Chesed, but Rabbi Nachman says, even if that's true, there still must have been some sparks of good, even within that act of Chesed. Ki al kaponim echshu, al kaponim haya ezin nekuda tova b'hamitzvah adavar tov sha'asa. There's got to be some spark of good that was in that Chesed, even if indeed it was self-serving. Ki tzarech ha'adam lechapes ulevakesh limtso ba'atzmo ezo ma'at tov. All you need to do in life is to find a little bit of good inside of me, kedei lahachios otzma atzmo, in order to give myself life. V'lavo, bless you. V'lavo lide simcha kineskel la'el. V'ayide zeh shemachapes umotze ba'atzmo adayin ma'atov. If I'm able just to find a little bit of good within myself, ayide zeh hu yotze be'emes mekaf chov lekaf schus. Rabbi Nachman says, what is true for the other is true for myself. If by finding the good in the other, by believing in the good of the other, I could generate the kochos to get that person to ultimately realize if I believe in them, then perhaps they should believe in themselves. Rabbi Nachman says, it applies to me personally as well. If I find the good in myself and give myself the benefit of the doubt, giving yourself the benefit of the doubt doesn't mean that I don't acknowledge the wrong things I've done. I'm fully aware and cognizant of all of my shortcomings, of all of my faults, of all of my sinful behavior. But you know what else I know? I also know that I've done good things. My good things are imperfect. You're right. But you know what? Even within the imperfection of my good deeds, I could find some sparks of pure goodness. And if I possess sparks of pure goodness, that means I have the ability to be good. I have to give myself the benefit of the doubt. And by giving myself the benefit of the doubt, or in other words, by believing in myself, I give myself the koach to uplift myself, to do tshuva, and to change myself. It says Rabbi Nachman, and as a result of that, I come to a state of simcha. Ayyadeh zehu yotzei be'emes mekafcho lekafschus, v'yucha lashuv b'tshuva, person will give themselves the benefit of the doubt. Person will be able to do tshuva bebechinas. And look what Rabbi Nachman says, because what does the pasuk say? Ve'od ma'at ve'in rasha. Rabbi Nachman says it doesn't just apply to how we view others, it applies to how we view ourselves. I have to look, when I look in the mirror, as much as sometimes I'm disappointed by what I see because I have not lived up to what I could potentially accomplish, I say to myself, ve'od ma'at ve'in rasha. No matter how low I have fallen, there's always a little piece of me that is good as a result of the good that I have done in life. There's always a piece of me that is not a rasha. And as a result, visponat amakomaven, and if I believe in myself, and believing myself will give me the koach to do tshuva, then what's going to happen? One day I'm going to look back to that place where I once stood, that place where I wasn't happy with myself. And I'm going to look back to try to find myself in that place, and what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I'm not going to be there. Because I've lifted myself up, because I've advanced myself, because I believed in myself, because I gave myself the benefit of the doubt, I changed, I grew, and I'm besimcha. Haynu kimo, shetzrichin, ladun achirim lekafsuchos, Rabbi Nachman writes, we have to give others the benefit of the doubt, afilu sarishoim, velimtso baim ezen akudas tovos, va'ayidei zem, otzin osam, be'emes bekafsuchos, lekafsuchos, b'mechinas v'od ma'at, kimo kein paragraph F, Kimokain who eats al ha'adam ba'atzmo shetzarech ladon es atzmo v'kafsuchus. Persons have to judge others favorably. I have to judge myself favorably as well. V'lumso ba'atzmo eiza nekuda tova adayin, and to find within myself something pure, something good, something that is still preserved. Kedei lechazek es atzmo shelo yipa legamrei chas v'shalom. Rak adraba yichya es atzmo. I have to bring myself back alive by believing in myself. V'yismach es nafsho b'ma'at hatov shemotzi b'atzmo, and rejoice in the little bit of good that I have found within. Da'haynu ma'ashe zocha lasos miyamav eiza mitzvah o eiza davar tov u'kimo kintzorach l'chapes od limtso b'atzmo eiz od eiza davar tov v'af shegam oso ha'davar tov u'gam kimur b'psolas harbe. Even like now Rabbi Nachman is just repeating it a little bit more. Even though when I find that good, I'll find many impurities mixed in there. Al koze yotzi misham gamkin ein zin nekuda tova. Dechen yechapes v'yilakit ot hanekudos tovos. Paragraph G. Va'al kain ayidei sheinu maniach lapil es atzmo mechaya es atzmo. V'mashem mechapes u'mavakish shemotzi v'atzo ein zin nekudos tovos. U'melakit u'mavar hanekudos. Okay, so we could just do the rest outside. Fine. So you see over here, so let's bring this all together. So I told you, it's life-changing. It's absolutely life-altering. So if you bring this all together, again, what comes out is the following. So from a little capital in Lamed Zayin, where David HaMelech bears this on, David HaMelech is talking on a totally different topic. David HaMelech is talking about, again, the idea that sometimes it's difficult to see the wicked be so incredibly successful. It's difficult to see the wicked just be okay with their wickedness and thrive in their wickedness when the tzaddikim do not. And David HaMelech tells us, the reader, don't be upset, don't contend, don't try to compete, don't try to keep up, don't covet the life that they have, because at the end of the day, David HaMelech says, va'od ma'at, you'll see in just a little while, ve'in rasha, wickedness disappears. Wickedness has absolutely no staying power. While we still stand in place, we'll look back at the place where the Rasha, where the Rishaim stood, and we will see that their place is vacant. So from David HaMelech's perspective, from the perspective of the Mefarshim, David HaMelech is giving an incredible message of chizuk to the Jew who suffers in the clutches of evil throughout the ages. I can't take away the evil, says David HaMelech, but I could tell you that if you have patience and staying power, we as a people and we as individuals outlive and out-sustain and out-exist even the most barbaric of all evils. Rabbi Nachman comes along and tells us that David HaMelech is giving us another profound, profound and life-altering lesson, namely how we are supposed to interact with others and how we are supposed to interact with ourselves. David HaMelech teaches us that when interacting with others, the most important thing is to be dan lekafsuchos, give people the benefit of the doubt. We know this already, but it's a struggle. Says Rabbi Nachman, say, how do I accomplish this? I accomplish this again by finding good. Even if it's just a little bit of good, even if it's a tiny speck of good, if I find the good within the other, then ultimately I can give them the benefit of the doubt, because since I know they have done good, I believe they can be good. And says Rabbi Nachman takes it a step further, when you believe in the ability of the other to do good, somehow, some way, that gives them the chizuk, that gives them the strength, that gives them the ability, gives them the courage to be able to pick themselves up and change themselves around. Says Rabbi Nachman, what is true to others about others is also true for ourselves. That sometimes the greatest challenge we have in our lives is that we're not happy with who we are. We're not happy, we don't necessarily articulate this, but we're really unhappy. Norv Soloveitchik speaks about this extensively as well. But Soloveitchik says that the greatest obstacle and the greatest hurdle to tshuva is what he calls the sinner mentality. And the sinner mentality is, I'm broken, I'm damaged goods. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me back? I know what I am. I know how broken and how far I've fallen. So why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu possibly want me back? And a person realizes, sometimes a person says, you know what? The only thing I'm really good at in life is sinning. I've kind of mastered that. I'm in the groove. I have that down. I'm not good at being righteous. I'm not good at being holy. Because every single time that I try, I fall and I fail. That's the sinner mentality, says the Rav, that is the greatest obstacle and hurdle to tshuva. Rabbi Nachman agrees. Rabbi Nachman says, let me give you the strategy. The strategy is that when I look in the mirror and I'm not happy with what I see because I haven't accomplished, I haven't done what I could, I haven't lived up to the expectations that I set for myself, perhaps many years ago. So Rabbi Nachman says, understand that when you feel that way, you run the existential risk of falling into the abyss of Atzvus and Mala Shechora. And Mara Shechora. You run the risk of falling into that abyss of sadness and of deep, deep dark depression, which if you fall deep enough into it, sometimes it is exceptionally difficult to climb back out. And therefore, says Rabbi Nachman, if you look in the mirror, you don't like what you see, here's the process. Find something good. Find something good. Find something positive you've done. Okay, you found the positive thing. What's going to happen? The Yetzer is going to come along and say what? Ah, that wasn't that. That's the one. It's that act. It's that event you're talking about. Come on. We both know you did that for the covet. We both know you did it for the honor. We both know you did it because you wanted people to talk nicely about you, because you wanted your family to think that you're a balas chet bachel. We all know why you did it. And then what happens? I'm on the brink of falling into that abyss again. Rabbi Nachman says, okay, it's true. Maybe your motivation wasn't so great. But there's got to be something pure that was in there. In every single Jew, there are moments of purity in my life. Find those moments, Rabbi Nachman says. And once you find those moments tell you that I have the ability to be good, that I have the ability to be holy, I have the ability to be pure. Believe in yourself. And once you begin to believe in yourself, says Rabbi Nachman, you will have the courage to change. You'll have the courage to evolve. You'll have the courage to lift yourself back up. But says Rabbi Nachman, lest you think this is my idea, Rabbi Nachman says, it's not my idea. It's contained in the beautiful prophetic words of David HaMelech that we read in Kapitel Lamed Zayin. David HaMelech teaches us, Va'od ma'at ve'ein rasha. For every person, the other and myself, there is always a ma'at, no matter how depraved or how far a person has fallen, there's always a ma'at. There is always a little bit that's not a rasha. There's always a little bit that's still good. And what do you need to do? You need to believe in that good. Believe in that person. If you believe in that person, whether that person is the other, or you believe in, or that person is yourself, believe in that person. You will give them, you'll give yourself the courage to grow. You know what happened to Rabbi Nachman? Says, David HaMelech is giving us a money-back guarantee. If you go ahead and you follow through on that process, you know what will happen? The day will come, v'hisponanta amakomo. The day will come that you will look back to look at that place where that person who you were unhappy with once stood, whether that's yourself or the other, and what happens? Ve'enenu. I won't be there. That person won't be there because they've had the courage to change. Believe in yourself. Believe in others. Give others the benefit of the doubt. Believe that the other can be great. And some way, somehow, Rabbi Nachman says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give them the koach to be great. Believe in yourself. And some way, somehow, you will become the person you truly want to be. All right, we'll stop over here. And Meretz Hashem, we'll continue with Kapitel Lamed Vav next week. Is there no class next week?